On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Well, field way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it.
It's all over!
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Tall Can Sports. Rob over there.
Hey.
Matt over here. Hit us up on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. The archives are at TallCanAudio.com.
And tell me you're not loving the new intro.
Yeah. No, don't tell me. I got something. How much of, and I know the answer to this.
I got something to say.
How much of the U.S. Open did you watch this weekend?
I always find the back half of the Sunday to be intriguing.
Okay. This thing that I've got for you was Thursday. So nowhere close to the interesting part. But I think you will find this to be, this somehow.
I find golfers to be a bunch of whiny bitches.
Oh, not what I've got for you now. Somehow, during the Thursday round of the U.S. Open, the audio got flipped to some ambient microphones, which they do, right?
Okay, so you can hear. Not like gay porn on CHCH.
Well, it's closer than you'd think. No, it's not. Don't turn the show off, folks. but you know how it is, right? They got that so you can hear the tee off really good, and you can hear the birds chirping and the crowd a little bit or whatever.
But
it
how about that mic'd in little into the cup sound they do? Lame.
Yeah. So sit back and take a listen to what I've got for you right now. This was actually on the Fox broadcast on Thursday from the U.S. Open.
6-3-1. Yeah, I would.
I know you're dipping a good pool.
That's
but
my ex.
Yeah, she's hot.
287. That's when I we were fucking so hard, and I headbutted her in the head.
Sure.
And the eye 4-4-4-4 smacked that bitch around.
Yeah, what actually happened here? She fell.
No, straight up, like we went and kind of did in the lover's position. Like, I was laying down.
The luggage position. What the hell is the luggage position?
Okay, so you're hearing luggage. There was a lot of talk on Twitter of what the position was because it's a little muffled. It's hard to hear. Some people said it was the Muppets position, which can only mean a hand up something or.
Yeah, see, I got luggage where she's on top and then you sit up.
Yeah, okay. So for those of you who had a hard time catching it, the guy says, we'll take a poll here. And the guy points, that's my ex. And he goes, she's hot. Yeah. I headbutted her in the head. We were fucking so hard. And then it kind of gets drowned out again for a couple of seconds.
See, I thought he said, I'd fuck her in the head.
No, it's, we were fucking so hard and I headbutted her in the head.
Okay.
Something about smack that bitch around.
Okay. So who is that?
And then it's no one really knows. It sounds like they went to one of their ambient microphones, and it might be just two guys standing on the field. Maybe it was two people in the truck. Maybe it was no one has yet. Fox has come forward and apologized for allowing this onto their broadcast, but no one yet knows who this was that was actually talking. Now that you've heard a little bit of the actual quotes, I'm going to play it again just so you can all hear it.
6-3-1.
Yeah, I would.
I know you're dipping a good pool.
That's
but
my ex.
Yeah, she's hot.
287. That's when we were fucking so hard, and I headbutted her in the head.
Sure.
And I 4-4-4-4 smacked that bitch around.
Yeah, what actually happened here, Chappelle?
No, straight up, like we went and kind of did in the lover's position. Like, I was laying down.
And then it kind of fades back to the someone must have hit a nice putt.
It's luggage. It's the luggage position.
I'm here in the Muppets position. Let us know on Twitter at Talkin Audio what position you think they're hitting us with.
Because they're lying down and then they sit up like you do with your folded over luggage, and then you sit up, you grab the top.
Could be.
Anyways.
Made it to air.
It sounded like the same guy who said, "Hey, there's my ex over there. Yeah, she's hot."
Yeah, she's hot.
It sounds like the same guy.
Okay, yeah. No.
Is she your ex because you hit? And what else you headbutting with other than your head? I headbutted her right in the head. It's a headbutt. That's my head butting against your head.
In the luggage position.
Buddy, be better. Be better.
Honestly,
at that.
You can't be knocking people. Because he actually says, "Or I had to smack that bitch," or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Have some class.
Just like the PGA typically does, but not so much in this particular instance, man. So there was Thursday at the U.S. Open. That was probably the biggest story to come out of it. I don't even know who ended up winning the fucking thing.
Brooks Koepka.
Sure.
Now, to me, it's interesting drama. To me, the other big story is the Phil Mickelson story.
Yes.
Okay, and this is where you look at it and go, you know what? I went mini putting about 3 weeks ago, and honestly, I'm putting from inside 3 feet, and I missed it. And I did the same thing. I just went by and went
after. And
knocked it back into the hole. And you're like,
that's a 2-stroke penalty.
What is it? Yeah, okay. But this is on hole number one of mini putt, and I was already like, I've fucked this up so badly already that I've put a 5 spot up on this par 2. All right, and so I jest with what he's doing at the U.S. Open, but people are outraged.
Well, so people, if you missed it, he's taking a putt, misses it terribly, and it's going to roll like 30 feet the fuck away.
Down into the fescue. Where else do you hear the word fescue?
You chase, like, picture this slightly obese 40-something-year-old man chasing it, not waiting for it to stop.
And with a pizza box vertical.
Just like whack back towards the hole instead of. So yeah, people were enraged that you, and you know, it's a 2-stroke penalty, and so whatever, okay, off it goes. But in the gentleman's game of golf,
yes,
never
see. And here's the thing, and this is where I take issue with the whole thing is,
as a non-gentleman,
yeah, is what Phil said was, yeah, I've thought about doing it a bunch of times because the greens at that point are so fast. And this one's running downhill. He missed it by what would be on a hole that you were on, it would miss and would roll another 6 inches and be done.
Yeah.
On a U.S. Open hole, it's rolling for another 16
I don't believe
16
him for a
feet.
Second, though. I don't believe for a second that he had that much time to think about it. And
no, what
I believe he was pissed off and, fuck. And then instead of just going, yeah, I'm sorry, whatever, he's like, no, that's kind of a strategy that I had. It was
okay.
2-stroke.
All right. Yeah, no. And so here's the issue here, though, is they chose to go with rule, whatever it is, 15.2, which is a 2-stroke penalty, whereas the golf purists say, no, the actual cardinal rule in golf is the one that all other rules are built upon is rule 1.2, which says you play the ball where it lies.
Off Bigfoot's fucking foot.
Yeah, this is it. Right off Gilmore. His hammer. Right there. And so people are saying, it's a, you know, it's a self-governed sport.
People
and
wanted him to be disqualified.
And so, but that is what rule 1.2 is, disqualification. whereas the USGA decided to go with the less sort of punitive rule, 15.2. And people are saying, yeah, if that's not Phil Mickelson, you're hitting him with rule 1.2, and he's disqualified.
Anything else on that?
Yeah, just to me, shut up, golfers. Yeah, honestly.
Golf Twitter is the worst.
Yeah, and really, you just, you know what?
And on Father's Day, no
less. Yeah, nobody really cares. Don't get all uppity and self-righteous. We're self-governed.
That is the weirdest thing. It's a gentleman's thing. You still walk around and score your opponent, and it's a weird fucking deal, man. Let's talk about the Jays for a second, who a week ago landed a four-game sweep against the Trash Bird Orioles.
Yeah, hot diarrhea Baltimore Orioles.
I'm really, really, really upset that on our last show about the Senators, I didn't somehow squeak in what I thought was a great line, which was out of the Canadian Tire Fire Center.
Canadian Fire Center.
No, Tire Fire Center.
Okay, you wanted the Tire Fire. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you see how it works.
Good for you.
Blew it. It's gone. Yep. Lost.
Exactly. Like so many other things, blew it.
Jays go down to Tampa. Get swept by the fucking Rays,
yeah,
and then come home and sweep the Nationals, who are, you know, actually, it was one thing to sweep the Orioles. You swept the Nationals.
Nationals are NL contenders.
With Scherzer and Gio Gonzalez and is it Tanner Roark, I believe, was the starter on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't see any of Sunday's game.
Fuck.
But I watched good chunks of the first two.
Well, they played good baseball, and you go, if you could have just taken one in Tampa, like lost the series. Like they right now have to go 52-40 to finish at the projected second wild card spot. So this team isn't good enough for that. But there's been so
52-40 does not seem crazy.
Yes, it does.
You know what seems crazy?
Let's get crazy.
is that you're suggesting we've played 70 games and there's still 90 to go? That's crazy.
They had a good April. They're having a pretty good June. If they didn't have a 9-19 May, this would be a team that's still hanging, especially now Anaheim, right? Shohei Ohtani has, you know.
And they're saying he's 18 months or whatever it is.
Yeah, nuts. And now
that guy never pitches again.
Mike Trout is somehow batting like 370 in his last 30 games, which is like Vlad Guerrero,
I think that's what Trout does.
Right.
That Scherzinger game, the Estrada Scherzinger game.
Scherzer, stop calling him Scherzinger, you Nazi bastard.
Scherzer's
probably still German.
That was an outstanding ball game.
Yep.
And that is the pitching that they were expecting to get 4 to 5 games.
Yeah. And they weren't expecting to get it from Sam Cavillo. Which is kind of what's had to happen.
Incaviglia. Instead of getting 1 out of 4, they were expecting that kind of stuff, sort of 4 to 5 nights where your starters would be successful.
Yeah. Hap's been the really only
bright spot.
And Sam Cavillo. It's been the only bright spots in the rotation. Sanchez has kind of sucked. Stroman's been hurt.
Squeeze your ass cheeks every time you see Biagini go up there and you're like,
holy shit, that guy. I get what they were trying to do with him in the rotation. It didn't work, and they kind of went, all right, well, throw him back in the pen. And, oh, my God, it's still awful. He's got to go back to Buffalo and find even his bullpen stuff for a week or two, and it's been bad.
You'd be a genie. He's got to go back to wherever he came from before he was here 2 years ago. Go with Chris Colabello. The pair of you, get on the same Greyhound and head to Knoxville. Yeah, this is it. I don't know where you're playing, but get out of here.
Knoxville. Yeah, you know what? It's if you could have taken one or two away from Tampa, then all of a sudden that becomes a killer week, and maybe you're
Tropicana is a field of horrors.
Fuck, we can't get it done. And they asked Gibbons about it down there, or your buddy John Gibson.
Yeah, John Gibson. Fuck him, that guy.
Down there in Tampa. And he's kind of given that Gibbons thing that he does now and then, that Texas sitting back and they ask
good
him,
old
why
boy.
He just goes, I don't know. It sucks. No, I need more from you on that.
Yeah. Why can't you tuck your shirt in, Gibby? What's happening there?
Oh, we know what's happening.
Yeah, for sure we do. Sun's out. Guns out, baby, right there.
guts out.
Yeah, sun's out, gut is out.
Yeah, got to be careful not to burn the bottom of your gut, man.
Well, you get the little fucking, the one little red stripe along this. Just about an inch below the belly button. Yeah. How does that? Well, I felt it in the shower. I don't know what's going on here.
The Montreal Canadiens make a trade that they announce.
You know
in
what? You know, just before you get fully into this, I would take way more pleasure if my team wasn't
the
just
Canadian Tire Fire.
Hot, hot, sick.
Well, I've got a question about that in the future. So
okay, all right then.
In the future of this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Stick around.
The nay too distant future.
The Montreal Canadiens trade Alex Galchenyuk straight up to Arizona for Max Domi.
In what has become an annual Bergevin.
They also did it at 9 o'clock on a Friday night because they too don't understand that.
2 years ago, you do Weber for Subban in June. Last year, you do Drouin for Sergachev in June. And this June, Bergevin says, my white shoes and my white belt and my white accented glasses feel like we need to make some shit happen. Let's trade Galchenyuk for Max Domi.
So this, I think you would probably agree with me, and we'll see how it pans out. I don't think Montreal won this trade.
Montreal did not win this trade.
Probably, though, the least objectionable of the three.
You see, and I actually changed my mind. I think this is a fucking home run for Montreal. You look at what's their two biggest weaknesses? Down the center and size. So for sure here, they've got a center. Oh, wait. Nope. Oh, they've got bigger. Oh, wait. Nope. Okay, forget it. I changed my mind. Bad deal for Montreal.
If someone had come to you and said, I will trade you Max Domi, Jonathan Drouin, and Shea Weber for P.K. Subban, Michael Sergachev, and Alex Galchenyuk, you would have laughed them out of the fucking room. Not Montreal.
Oh.
That's not how they do business, man.
Okay, then, hey, shame on you, you dirt-kicking douchebag. You got to throw all of them together and you go,
okay.
I wouldn't do Subban for those three guys.
So, and that's the thing, right? Shea Weber is not a bad player, but he's not as good as P.K. Subban. Jonathan Drouin is not a bad player. He's not as good as Sergachev.
Right, but they need
and Max Domi is not a good, bad player, but he's not as good as you keep doing that, and it adds up.
Well, and see, to me, Weber was going to be, you needed, like Patrick Marleau, right? You needed money from him in the first 2 years. Weber, you needed money from him.
Damning comparison, man. One's like a 7 or 8 years left. One's
No.
2 years
I'm just
left.
Saying, but you're looking at the same shelf life in terms of you're going to bring this on.
Weber's going to be fine for another 2 or 3 years, and then it's going
to fine. Maybe to me, you were looking, and he was hurt for most of last year.
That's going to be, I guess we'll see. I think when they made the deal, most people said for a couple of years, this will be fine.
Yep.
But
and there's going to be pain on the second half of this.
It's going to be pain.
For all of it, because Subban's still going to be doing Subban stuff.
Yep.
And Weber
possibly
is going to be in the back half.
In your division for Carlson.
Yeah, so you need, no chance.
No, not anymore.
You needed to
make. CTCS 241.
You needed to make that shit happen with Weber when they're saying, you know, he's going to put us over the top here. He's the stud D that he's going to bring the power play points and he's going to kick up our power play. And he's going to do all those things. Oh.
Well, and again, to circle back, if you want to look at this in a package deal, forget what they got back. They've traded Sergachev, Galchenyuk, and Weber, or Subban, and not landed a single center. Their biggest need.
So, and again, we look at just this trade, which is...
Fuck, does this guy still have a job?
Which is what we're talking about right here, is it's admittedly depth, centers, period. Not even center depth. Centers... D and size, right? You've taken a 6'1", 210 Galchenyuk who has the ability to play some center. Who got
Arizona's already said he'll play center.
We wouldn't make this trade if we didn't think he could play center for us. Who got blacklisted as a center in Montreal?
Yeah,
and you're bringing in a guy who doesn't play center,
right.
Who's actually 3 inches and 15 pounds smaller.
Yes.
And has scored, like Galchenyuk has had a 20-goal season and a 30-goal season.
Max Domi has 36 goals in 230 career games.
18, 9, and 9. That's his three seasons. And that's in...
Alex Galchenyuk once scored 30 in 82 games. So
right.
You decide. Now, they still don't have a center, right? But there's a ton of talk that Max Domi is, in terms of your advanced analytics, one of the top 10 passers in the league in terms of getting the puck to the slot.
Right, with his
but
nine.
But without a center, you don't.
Right, who you say? Who you passing that to?
Be in there,
Max Pacioretty. Oh, no,
future Predator or whatever.
Yeah,
wherever he's gonna
and
be.
So you're looking at both guys, really point wise, very similar, right? 45 to 55 point guys.
Yeah. Yep.
Like Domi with his 9 goals, and people seem to want to look at that, but he is sort of putting up 35 assists with those 9 goals.
Four of those goals were empty netters. He had 5 goals last year.
All right.
That's a thing.
Zach Smith says, I'm going to parlay that into a $3 million contract.
Okay.
25 goals with ten empty netters.
Isn't getting traded for Alex Galchenyuk. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Hey, Zach Smith scored 25 goals.
Okay.
In a season.
Let's not make this the Zach Smith.
Okay. All I'm saying is William Karlsson, RFA. Hey man, it's what you do in that year when the contract comes up, you right. go,
yeah,
pay that man his money.
Bitch better have
money. Yeah, this is it.
Look, I don't necessarily think that this is quite as laughable as the other two that we referred to in terms of these deals.
Well, I think
there's a chance
in isolation, Matt. None of these are laughable.
I thought. All the time, Weber for Subban was laughable.
Okay, see, I didn't.
Yeah, but that's a difference in how you and I look. I'm more growing interested in this analytics thing, and you know, that's a whole other conversation for another day. I never thought that was going to be an okay trade. I always thought it was a terribly bad trade. I don't think any of us saw Sergachev having the unreal rookie season that he had, and... They fought so hard in Montreal, forcing Drouin early on to be a center when he just clearly wasn't. Now, he got better as it went on, because if you're wanting to do that, you're going to have to wait it out a bit, right? And wait out some of these mistakes. But Sergachev was so good for Tampa, and because he didn't have to be a top pair guy, right? They had room to let him develop. That was a bad move. It just is... You've traded three of your top assets and not once gotten back what you needed. That's horrible.
And this is it, right? And we've touched on it two or three times in this conversation. Your needs are X, Y, Z. And yeah, you keep going, all right, well, let's try.
I'm going to trade a little bit of X and Z and get some D.
Yeah, or I'm going to trade some X and Z because I need Y, and I'm going to get more X and Z,
right.
But not as good,
not
maybe.
Not as good as the X and Z I already have.
Because the X and Z I traded away could do a little Y.
Right.
This guy doesn't do any of that. Oh, wait, and he's smaller.
Right.
And people say, oh, he's gritty. Max Domi is not gritty.
No, he's not.
He and fought Ryan Kessler. That's it. And then I think busted his hand up or whatever happened.
And
he
the other
out.
Stupid comment was, well, his father played in a big market. He'll be able to handle it. I think that's a fucking idiotic, just because his dad did it. His dad didn't have to do it as a top line producer.
Right.
It doesn't mean you hand down those genetics. And I personally think that's an overrated argument to begin with. I think most guys with a good coach and a good organization can play in major markets. I think that was a ridiculous statement for Bergevin to make.
I think Bergevin makes ridiculous statements and ridiculous trades over and over again. And I think...
Please keep doing it. You are pod fodder.
I think he's just been extended too, or he's on the cusp of...
Fuck, I hope so.
Like
guy.
I think that is a guy who is going to run that team right into the dirt.
Buffalo might be fourth in the division next year, ahead of Ottawa, Montreal, and Detroit.
Yeah, well, see, the Panthers and the Wings,
oh,
I think...
I forgot about the Panthers.
The Panthers and the Wings have some potential.
Suck.
Well, we'll see, right?
Stay tuned for end of September for our terrible predictions.
Well, I think some of our predictions were more terrible than others.
None were good. Some were more or less terrible than
some
others.
Some were so, well, and again, as we got closer to home, it got worse.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you two things here. The CFL is touting at the end of week one.
Hey, wait.
All right.
TCS Karma. Mm-hmm. After week one, your Ottawa Red Blacks.
First
in the East, baby.
Didn't play. Everybody else lost.
That's all I got.
So the league is touting an increase of 22,000 more people in the stands for week one than last year. Does that mean anything to you?
It means nothing to me.
Of course it doesn't.
You've played four games and you've got...
They were in Edmonton and well, Winnipeg and BC.
So that means 5,000 more per night? Is that what they're suggesting?
They're not suggesting that. They're saying that it was 22,000 more this year than last year.
So, but
to me, I think about last year's Argo home opener in week one was 13,000 people as opposed to the Argos
and the Argos being in Saskatchewan.
West, right. Edmonton is playing.
Hamilton is in Calgary.
Right.
And Edmonton was in Winnipeg.
Edmonton was in Winnipeg. So
and I
you
think
are
Montreal
seeing,
would have been in BC, I believe.
You have, that's right. You have hardcore markets at home
yep.
in their bigger stadiums in week one. I don't know that it means anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
You can't blame the league, I guess, for throwing it out there.
Well, for sure. I would too, right? But don't look too deep into this stat. I'm just going to tell you right now, we had 22,000 more people when you had all home games
were west
of Ontario.
Big stadiums, yeah.
Yeah, with passionate, you know, that's the true CFL fan is right. The Western fan.
Any of those games this weekend catch your eye or anything of interest to you?
The shit show that was the Thursday opener, Edmonton and Winnipeg. Right,
it was like a 4.5 hour first half.
With its multiple delays, and it finished
rain
before 1,500 people at 2 a.m., whatever that is.
Honestly, man, that was messed up. I thought, go ahead.
The Saskatchewan-Toronto game, I think Calero is doing just enough, right?
Yep.
Not lighting it up in his first game, stopping his personal 10 or 11 game losing streak.
Yeah. No, that was Winnipeg. Strevler, right, was actually pretty good despite losing.
As the
was
first guy.
Was it 32 or 30? He put up 30 points anyway. Like, not bad for a rookie that wasn't expected to be in that position.
The first guy in 30 years or whatever it was to come straight from college to be a starter.
Yeah. Since, what did we say, Calvillo, I think, was his
exactly.
So, it was an interesting week one for you and I know. The big one will be Thursday night, Red Blacks fired up. But if you're interested in a little more in-depth talk on the CFL, go back and check out Talkan Sports number 239 with AJ Jakubek, TSN 1200, voice of the Red Blacks. We went in-depth across the league, so you can check that out.
Super insightful too, AJ.
Yeah. So if you're an Ottawa fan especially, things fire up on Thursday, check TCS 239 before that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, just briefly before we wrap this up, was the Toronto Marlies win the Calder Cup. I don't expect you to know many Marlies.
They beat the Texas Stars, I believe.
Yes.
Or
does that mean?
No, it does not.
Go ahead. Why don't you tell me what my question was?
You're going to say, well, I think the Toronto papers the next day were saying Marlies end Toronto professional hockey drought.
I was in love with all of those takes. Toronto has won a professional hockey championship. No.
Get in line behind the Binghamton Senators, douchebags. That parlayed into, nothing.
That's more where I wanted to go, was what, as a fan of the big team, does it mean? Because we have, like, Tampa has a consistently good minor league
team. They still in Peoria? Right? Is that where they?
No,
Syracuse.
Yeah. Peoria is the Blues, I believe. Right. The Rockford Ice Hogs, I believe, for the Blackhawks.
Love that. Love that.
The Ice Hog.
Yeah. Syracuse Crunch, I know, for the longest time
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, the Marlies were led through the playoffs in a big way by Andreas Johnsson and Dermott didn't play in Game 7, but both of those guys had spent significant time with
Johnsson
the big
was
club.
Good in the playoffs, though.
He was. He was more than a point a game. Is it – this was, and we've talked about it before, the Marlies have made – because they've been successful a bunch of times, but usually with AHL veteran-laden lineups, this was a ton of young guys. I wonder what, if anything, from an outsider's perspective, it should have Leaf fans thinking.
I would suggest what this means for Toronto Maple Leaf fans is – there's probably three or four really good depth pieces that are going to make it onto your team.
Yeah.
I would look for somebody who was on this team. And again, I didn't watch any of
it. I watched a couple of the finals.
I was hearing the scores. I was hearing as it went to
– right.
I scanned through the TV and I saw that it was 2-0 in game seven after the first period for the Marlies. So I could only assume that it was going to go well for them.
Right.
But I would say the back end of your decor and the back end of your lineup are going to benefit from some guys who have won a championship at a very good level.
Right.
Right. So to me, that means you're going to have some good pros are going to make it, but not top end guys.
Yeah. I think you're probably looking, and you were starting to see that in the playoffs in the late season. I think Andreas Johnsson probably is a top nine guy next year. We'll see what that means. And Travis Dermott, maybe a second pair guy next year. Now, he's young enough, right, that maybe he's a third pair guy next year who could work his way up eventually to be a top four. But it's... they're trying to, a lot of Leaf fans want to equate this to, well, if they won, we're 3 years away from us winning, right? All those guys work out, they all come up, and it just never quite works that way.
Your
Nylanders and Matthews and Marners all have to pan out and sign for reasonable numbers. You have to address your right side defense problem is not going to be solved on the Marlies, right?
And it comes down to it, and I can look at the direct correlation between, you know, the Binghamton Senators winning an AHL championship, winning a Calder Cup.
Was Colin Greening there?
Colin Greening was there.
Well, he's got his second now.
Was he down there?
Oh, yeah. See, likely be the captain next year.
But you had guys. Hoffman was down there. Zach Smith was down there.
Pageau?
I'm not sure. Pageau, but you do have guys who are filling out sort of third and fourth line roles.
Right.
Right. And there's a reason why they're down there.
Yeah.
And now a guy like Johnsson, maybe he touches your second line.
Sure.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is if they're expecting, and who was
he's it, not the driver
who,
of
who
that
was the goalie
line.
Down there?
Garrett Sparks.
Yeah. He's not winning you a Stanley Cup.
Well, you're probably right. Although he does have historically good. Best all-time AHL numbers.
Okay. Right on, man.
But he is not 20.
The rest
20.
Of the division is...
He's 25.
Yeah, is so, licking their chops at that guy.
I think what you're hoping for is that he's going to replace Curtis McElhaney as your backup, right? Maybe he can take 30 games instead of McElhaney's 15.
Well, we saw that at Worlds, and we welcome that.
No, you welcome back McElhaney. I do not.
Yes. No, we do not. He's not welcome here.
Right.
So. It's great. And it's great for the franchise. And I mean, Toronto, period, right from top to bottom. And it does show Dave Poulin likes to pat himself in the back.
Yes, he does.
So.
For being awful.
Good for you guys. But anybody who thinks that means jack shit for the Maple Leafs is deluded.
It's not bad news for them.
No, it certainly is not. No. It certainly is not. And as I said, you were going to get some serviceable NHLers out of that team.
Right.
Right? Three or four guys who are going to be inserted right into that lineup in the next couple of years.
It's so funny.
But on the back end. And it won't be the goalie.
It was so funny to see that. And I'm intrigued. I personally don't think Garrett Sparks is going to be the guy in Toronto or anywhere. But we have seen, like, Carey Price was an AHL goalie, right? Like, we have seen AHL goalies.
Robin Lehner was that AHL.
Oh, okay, well.
See, this is what I'm saying. He is a starting goalie in a Calder Cup winning team.
But you do see goalies being sent to the AHL to overripen maybe more than any other position.
Did Carey Price win a Calder Cup?
I don't know. Probably not.
No, he did not. In Hamilton, I believe.
Yes, it was Hamilton. It was down there with PK, probably.
Yeah, so and they were good, but they didn't win.
Out of town shortly enough.
So this is all I'm saying, though, is Yeah, it guarantees you nothing.
No, guarantee for sure it does not. I think it's interesting. I wish people would stop banging the professional hockey drought in Toronto.
No, and the rest, and really the rest of us, the rest of us look at that and go,
so sad.
Yeah, you know what? You are be better than that.
And there was passionate Marley fans, maybe 2,200 of them. Right, that probably went all the time, but this 9,000 seat arena was full every game in the finals because Toronto is so starved. And then they and do this. They're not going to do a parade, but they are going to do kind of like what the Devils did right out in the Meadowlands, where they have like a thing in the parking lot instead of a parade, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't really have. And there was at least 300 people there when they showed the pictures of this celebration. So I think there's kind of this, when it's happening, hey, look at how great this is going to be for Toronto. And then when it actually comes time to go, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
Hey, okay. And I think we've exhausted the Marlies. Yeah. Before you signed off, because I know you're sort of, you're wandering in that general direction.
I do that.
We are right in the middle of the buyout period. That, at least that time frame where you go,
yeah,
it's on you. And Cap Friendly. I love Cap Friendly.
Oh, they're so good.
Man,
CapFriendly.com. Check it out for literally anything.
I could spend a pile of time looking at a pile of shit on there. Whatever. It's draft picks. Who's got what coming up. How much cap space
how many
you
years
have.
Do you have left on this deal?
This is it, right? And you start looking at guys. And so right at this moment, they have popular buyout selections. Right? Is that saucy little category right there? It's two or three down. And I think you know the teams that suck by the ones who have your players are prominently selected in there, right? So, for instance, Ottawa has Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
He's not getting bought out.
Nope.
Forget about it. But Marian Gabrick is in there, and I think that he's probably
Do you think Melnick will do it?
I think absolutely he will, if Gabrick is healthy enough. But the dumb fucks played him.
Yes.
And instead of just saying,
get healthy,
hey,
buddy.
Get healthy, sit down. We don't need to play you because you're not bringing us your five goals you've scored in the last 122 NHL games. Get healthy. So, but he had to have surgery.
Yeah.
He's probably not healthy, which means we probably can't buy him out.
That's right.
Okay, but we have two in there. The Habs have two in there in terms of Carl Alzner, which is super.
Oh, after 1 year.
1 year he's in there. And David
Schlemko.
You and Schlemko.
I both panned that. Schlemko, I think, was part of the shuffle around the expansion draft.
Alzner's got $4.6 million for four more years.
Oh, yeah.
that's an anchor, my man.
We panned that deal.
Weighing you down.
Terrible. Terrible fucking deal. And they're looking at bringing in Jack Johnson. They would have Petrie, Johnson, Alzner, and Weber all well into their, 30 or above starting next season.
Yeah, right. And Schlemko, he's a couple mil, two mil.
He's fine. He's not their problem.
For two more years, that's not the guy.
I'm not buying
that's
that
not
guy.
The guy I need to buy.
No.
But I'm just saying. Montreal, you're on notice. Ottawa, you're on notice. You have two guys in this list.
Yeah.
Lucic, right?
Never happened.
$6 million for another 5 years.
There's a ton of talk about them trying to trade him.
Yeah. Well,
now, first of all,
Western correspondent Dean has said to me, hey, what about Lucic? Hey, he'd be great on your power play in front of the net.
God.
And you're like, yeah, I'm not even trading him for Bobby Ryan. Not even, and Bobby Ryan's making $7.25. Like, that's a.
But how many people jumped up and down and got so mad when people criticized the Lucic signing, saying, no, this is the final piece. This is what they need to protect McDavid. And this is what. Fucking brutal, man. To be able to now sit there and straight faced say, you should give us something real for that guy.
For the retirement contract, we gave that guy.
Brutal, man.
Hey, but what about
they just re-signed Cajula. That ought to
Drake.
Cajula. That'll fix things right up there in Edmonton.
What about Brooks Orpik?
Doesn't he only have 1 year left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But any guess on the number though?
Five. Whew. It's terrible.
Now, cup winner. Again?
This is one of those things that you see on all these teams, right? Chicago, where you have to pay the bill later on. It was worth it at the time, and it got us there, and this is going to end terribly. Orpik for a while has been, at best, their number five kind of guy.
Penalty killer.
Yeah.
So the only other two names on there that are worth mentioning is Louis Erickson in Vancouver. $6 million for another 4 years.
Holy fuck, that's brutal.
Like, what are you going to do with that?
God damn.
Okay, and the other one that's kind of intriguing to me is, and I'm sort of surprised to see him, is Brian Lee. Oh, wait, no, it's
no,
not Brian
probably
Lee.
Probably not.
It's he Mark
it
Stahl.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what his number is, but.
Mark Stahl.
Isn't he blind at this point? Didn't he like lose all his vision in one eye or something?
5.6, somewhere in that range for three more years.
If they are as intent as they appear to be on rebuilding, I would do that. I would buy him out because for the next couple of years, you're not supposed to be any good. Now, they're also talking about signing Ilya Kovalchuk, which would mean you're not that committed to your
Kovalchuk
rebuild.
Kovalchuk is not signing there.
We'll see.
With the Rangers?
Look, I agree, but he's one like that's one of the top three favorite spots that might get him. He wants to go to a major market. He says he wants to win.
Yeah,
he really wants his money in a major market.
Well, this is it. And which is it, Ilya? Because at 35, I think a lot of people feel like he could bring not as the guy, but he could be a 25 goal guy. Mm-hmm. And
agree with that.
So to me, Ilya, are you happy to come and play for the Rangers and score 25 and get whatever the Rangers are willing to pay you? Right. But the Rangers aren't going to pay you, to me.
Well, they got to pay somebody, right, to stay above the.
Oh, they're fine, right? And if you look at cap friendly,
as we do,
right? The bottom three teams, Islanders, Carolina, and Vegas, in terms of they all have like $28 million in cap space. Projected cap space. And I'm using the 79,
yep.
80 million of the new one,
that's right?
Right. Whereas I think they're still going on that sort of 76, 77 until it gets announced.
Yeah, I bet you it ends at 80, right? The range is supposed to be 78 to 82. They'll land in the middle, right?
And if you look at the Islanders, who have the most at 28 million, I believe, in cap space on the old 76.
Yeah.
Tavares
signs.
Hey, if Tavares resigns there, they also have Calvin DeHaan and Hickey, right, are both up for new contracts. Is it safe to say there's $20 million right there between those three players?
DeHaan, Hickey, and Tavares?
Yep.
Yeah. To me, I'm not giving Hickey very much.
Okay.
1.5. DeHaan's probably 4 or 5. Don't you think?
Yeah. All right. You're not getting Hickey for 1.5.
Well, then he'll walk away. To me, I'm not spending a lot of money on that. But
okay. But anyways, it's deceiving at this point, right? When you look at it and you go, "Hey, $28 million," and you go, "Yeah, okay." But if JT resigns there,
yes. So now that you've mentioned him, I want to talk about Tavares just for a minute before we wrap this up. Dreger reported within the last week or so that he believes now. They're talking a ton, and Tavares is number one priority or best outcome would be to re-sign with the Islanders. To me, that seems horribly unlikely. Not that he re-signs, because I think I've always said that I think he will.
I think he re-signs there.
Okay, so you've changed your tune a little bit. Don't make me go all the way back and find.
I don't care. Go back and
I don't want to.
Shit change, so but sure, shit changes from day to day.
And especially once Lou went in there and kind of got rid of the Garth Snow gong show. And
new
all,
arena all. on the horizon.
That's right.
At least.
That's right. So that's all fine with me. And I don't necessarily dismiss the fact, and I've always thought, that it's more likely than not that John Tavares will re-sign there. My thing is, having had him come all this way, stretched out all this time past the negotiating window last summer, past the trade deadline where they tried to make a run at it and didn't get in, he's not going to sign, in my opinion, with the Islanders a week before the exploratory window with everybody else, right? At this point, would you not go to the Sharks? Would you not go to Vegas? Would you not, I don't know, Boston, Toronto, Montreal for sure is going to be it. And find out what they'll pay you. Then go back to Lou and say, okay, this is what it's going to cost you. I don't believe for a second
for sure
he's signing this week without going into that window, having come this far.
Agreed, 100%, that they'll get into that week where you're allowed to.
Because that's what Stamkos did. Stamkos toured around, found out what everyone else was willing to give him, and then went back to Yzerman and said, now let's talk.
Yeah, okay, and if Toronto's willing to give me 10-5, I'll take your 8-5 here.
Right, with the tax differences.
Tax, and, exactly, yeah. Tax-free.
Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up, and this just came up an hour or two before you and I sat down at the microphones, was it...
Slaving over a hot microphone.
It leaked out, I guess if you want to call it. Bob McKenzie said on two different TSN stations today that Toronto has creative offers to make to John Tavares. And the talk immediately became... with Toronto for one more year having a ton of cap space, and I can see already rolling your eyes.
Nope, not at all.
What if Toronto for one year, here's $17 million. Next summer, let's talk about a more reasonable 10 per.
Is that allowable? The
17 is fine. So if you gave him basically all your cap space this year.
That's crazy as fuck.
That does a couple of things. It kind of takes away that annual cap hit problem because they're going to pay that up front while they have room right now.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, now this is where it gets uncomfortable for Leaf fans, now you can give him 8, which you can't right now. So technically it's a 9-year deal, right? Because he'll be your guy at the end of next season. And then he signs for his $10 million.
You giving
whatever.
Him a, so sorry. Are you giving him a 1 year $17 million?
You're giving him 1 year $17-18 million because you have the room right now to do it. And then he's yours at the end of next season. You give him another 8 years at the 9 or 10 that he wants. Oh, he probably wants more, but it's still over the.
Yeah, you've crazy exploded the market at 17.
Yep. But the Leafs have the cap room and the cash to do it.
Well, and I think so that's crazy as fuck. But I think I've...
theoretically possible, but crazy as
okay,
fuck.
Okay, all right. And yes. So to me, they are in a spot with Bozak, JVR coming off the books, Kadri at a very affordable 4-5 or whatever he's...
For another like five years
yes. Right? And so if Morgan he's going to get you 25 to 30 goals, to me, I was looking at that today going, that's a digestible contract, big time.
I hated that deal when they signed it, and I love it now. Okay, right? Like 30-goal seasons later.
The fan lives and dies in the moment.
Yep.
I think the Leafs need to do whatever they can do in the now, because I think we've seen the window is short.
Oh, yeah.
So that's crazy, as I've said, but if you could do that...
And then, of course, you have when Toronto had their meeting with Stamkos back, it was 3 years ago now, and he did the same thing. He went to the negotiating window, met with these other teams. When he met with Toronto, they had Sport Check there, right? They had Canadian Tire there. They had, I don't know, Tim Hortons that said, yeah, wink, wink, nod, nod. We can only pay you this, but if you're wearing a blue and white jersey...
We could kill it with this.
The sponsorships you will make playing in Toronto... Now, it wasn't enough for Stamkos. Maybe it won't be enough for Tavares, but for one year...
I think the tax-free and the team he had...
That's right, for Stamkos.
For Stamkos in Tampa.
Yeah, that's not the same in New York.
It is not.
Right. So, for 1 year, they have this crazy amount of cap space... Here, take it all now.
Right, and Toronto is in that bottom 6 or 7 in terms of projected cap space right now.
Yep. They've got tons of room for 1 year.
I think it takes...
This might just be all blue.
All right, but it's
interesting.
It takes crazy creative financing just like that for this to happen. Otherwise, he signs there and... he progresses with Barzal and whatnot, and they sort of move forward with that lineup there.
There was another guy, David Staples, who writes for The Athletic now, but used to be, I believe, Newsday in New York. And he had said the same thing a week or two ago, that the expected bidders would be Montreal, San Jose, New York, and probably Vegas. And
yes, he's not going to Montreal. There is no chance that's happening.
I hope not. And as do you,
would,
sure.
Would you? No, like if you were John Tavares?
No, I'm not. No. And depends how much they're going to pay me, I guess. But with the price deal already there.
I go to Montreal if they give me McDavid money.
Yeah. But so now that's $23 million between me and Price. They're not doing shit else, right? So that's a rough deal to sign. But the thing that was interesting about the David Staples report was that he also reported that Tavares hoped that Boston and Toronto would make offers. Now, where that comes from, who knows? But this has been a thing for a while. The most Toronto fans assume there's just no way.
Okay, but see, unlike it, and I'm going to be the first one to shit on the Leafs,
of course,
and Blue Nation. But to me, unlike any time in the past 25 years, and I barely include the 92-93 teams because they weren't dominant.
No,
they were good teams.
Yep.
This Leaf team has an opportunity.
Yeah.
To do something.
If Kadri at whatever 27 goals, like he's back to back 30 goal guy now. Yeah. But if you're not ready to call him that, fine. At your number three position,
well, you throw him in that three hole, and you are rock solid.
You do the Gensel thing, the Rust thing, right on the wings.
Oh,
right?
I think you have like the Pittsburgh. You have the best three centers
for sure. But
if Kadri is your three and you have Austin Matthews and John Tavares as your one and two,
yeah,
you're killing it.
Yeah. And so you can afford to go a little cheap like Pittsburgh has on the wings, right? And that's sort of the model. Well, you almost have to, right? Gardner's gone at that point, right? Like you hope Dermott can be that guy. If he can't, well, we'll just have to outscore that, I guess.
But to me, I think you have to be willing as a Leaf fan to go, yeah, okay, we're going to give him crazy money for 1 year deal, and then we can renegotiate. And then you have to be willing to say, I did that and it was a tire fire.
Sure.
It turned out terribly. I'm going to San Jose. I'm going to Boston.
Yep.
After that. And really, I think as a Leaf fan, you have to be willing to say, yeah, we went all in right now.
But that's always the gamble, right? Is that you got to bet on yourself for one. Like, this has always been a thought, was we could give Tavares $20 million for 1 year and go for it. And
that's obscene.
Of course it is.
Obscene and, hockey money.
And then he goes, well, if I get hurt, then I'm fucked. Right? Which is possible. He got hurt at the Olympics. Anybody can get hurt. But
yeah, but lacrosse guys bounce back.
No one has ever put forward, at least that I've seen, what I read today, and it came from a few different places, which was not just $20 million this year because we're going for it. It's $20 million this year to get you to bring that cap hit down next summer. We've given you your money. So instead of it being 12...
Because to me, I've never seen anything that shows him getting...
But that's got to be a wink-wink, nod-nod. Right.
That's what I'm saying is...
Because if he gets hurt, the Leafs will turn around and go, yeah, fuck, sorry.
Yeah, to me, people say, yeah, John Tavares, he's a top five, top 10 player in the NHL.
Yep.
No arguments.
Yep.
Right? He's been sort of toiling away in anonymity on the island. But that's how it goes, right? People see him every night. Dude's killing it.
Yeah.
And so he is a 10-5, 10 million. He's a $10 million player.
For sure.
But could we? If you're gonna say to him, yeah, hey, I'll give you 17. And again, I thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm warming to it. And say,
it's nine.
Hey, at the end of this, exactly.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get that full 10-5. We'll give you the nine because you've got that extra million over those 8 years.
Yeah. We already paid you that.
Make that shit happen, man. I'd do that.
None of that will happen. Draft week is always more dull than we have.
This is a hot stove talk. This is what people want to hear.
The draft is always interesting. Later on this week, that goes on Friday night. We'll try and get something done over the weekend to recap that. But I think for now, man, that's probably about it.
I think that's all I got.
That's Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
fucking suck this year.